stuff.
So we can start?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So it's good to see you,
yeah,
Sam.
Good to see you.
I apologize for being late to the record.
Were you?
7 minutes late.
Oh.
It's because this room had the premiere in it.
What?
And I get
Christopher Minns.
We're recording earlier than usual.
Very early.
I was quite deliberate about when I woke up and when I had a coffee and when I left. And because, you know, I've been late before here, you know, difficult to park. So I've got public transport. And then you arrive on time. And I walk up the stairs. And the first guy I see is a man in a suit.
Yeah.
But with like a thing in his ear and like another cord and what appeared to be a gun.
MI5. The Secret Service.
I don't know about MI5, but I thought for a second that there'd been a security issue.
Right, yeah.
And that there'd been like an invader into the podcast studio and this guy was here to investigate or something like that. And then the podcast producer guy was like...
Or they just gotten the security for our podcast.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
We appreciate it. We've been asking for this for a while.
Exactly. Lighten the Loafers or whatever that mug off fan is. He sent me a few too many strange DMs. And I'm glad you've got a guy on 120 grand a year.
The duty of care from DM podcast is out of control.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the dollar for security to listen ratio is off the charts.
Yeah, you wouldn't get it anywhere else, wouldn't it?
Absolutely not. It's simply not a worthwhile investment. It's a surprise they can afford microphones to put in front of our mouths, let alone guns, holsters.
And little earpieces and a fancy suit.
So I was a bit confused. But then, yeah, I was told the podcast studio was being used by Chris Minns.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh. He is the premier, right?
He's the premier, yeah.
He is the premier.
Now, I've got so many questions. So you walk up, he's doing an interview, I assume, on a podcast. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, he's doing the Batuta podcast.
Really? And did you, because he's got like, to me, he doesn't look like a politician. He spikes his hair. Did you notice that?
Wow. In person, he looks a lot like a politician.
Right.
I think you're right. His hair he's a bit kind of like, I'd put him in the category of Gen X, I guess.
He's a Gen X?
I'm not sure even if he is, but I would say he would be. I reckon he'd be like late 40s, early 50s. I think that's Gen X now.
Yeah, right.
And I suppose he has the physical trappings of that kind of generation, trying to be a bit alternative from, you know, conservative politicians, I think. But he's still wearing a suit and he's a white guy.
Did you ask him, so you did you get to speak to him?
So I was standing there waiting for the studio. There was like a security man, some woman with a camera, a few people that work at the podcast production house, and a woman standing next to me who I went, I don't know who she was actually, but I said, a lot happening. And she went, So I'm not sure whether she worked for Minns or worked for DM Podcast, but that was my attempt.
That's a great chit-chat though, because that's beautiful choice of words by you, because it does sum up everything that's going on.
Well,
even if she worked for Minns and this is day to day, She would love it because it would give her kind of an air of self-importance slightly.
That's so true. And thank you for saying that, because I thought immediately, wow, it really depends whether she works for Minns or the podcast studio to me, because if she works for the podcast studio, what I said is correct.
Totally.
And I'm coming with the same kind of context as they would be, because, you know, our podcast is sometimes what they're doing.
Exactly.
However,
right?
If she works for Minns, this could be the cushiest stop on the tour.
Oh, yeah. Could...
Popping in to do a podcast with four people standing there is probably not a lot going on.
But then she would like, I reckon if you worked for the premier, you would like the self-importance and you would have a bit of ego attached to doing something quite important, right?
It would be so fun zipping into different contexts.
Totally. And so meeting
the magic.
Someone attached to a podcast studio, a low-level no disrespect to DM and everything they've done for us.
Oh, I think it's a good podcast.
It's one of the best, but it's still the podcasting world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of the lowest worlds that a politician who's the premier would dip their
toe into. It's like he could be doing 7:30. Do you know what I mean? So this is like...
In terms of press, this is...
I reckon Batuta cut a deal to get... Like, I don't know how they got him, to be honest.
It's maybe the biggest get of their careers.
But so she would love to see an average fella like you, no disrespect, but just being like, being like, whoa. And she would be like, that's right. I'm doing something. I'm making waves. I've hitched my ride to a big deal.
Yeah, right. I thought that she'd judge me, but no, you're right. It probably went... in a positive direction into her ego. And then so I'm waiting there, and then I hear Minns chatting, and the studio swings open. Archie comes out from Batuta.
Yeah.
Who I should clarify, they get some big guests. This is a big podcast, presumably. Yeah. But have a bit of a chat to him. Minns is still in there chatting to people. Minns comes out, and I should actually be honest about what occurred.
Okay, no, please do. There's no point of lying. Unless something...
To reveal that up until this point, I was planning on lying.
But there's no point, unless something scandalous happened, like he disrespected you personally, no. Or you've embarrassed yourself, there's no point lying.
It's just occurred to me what actually happened is like a bit embarrassing, I guess, in that Archie, then Minns comes out, he's like, I think he went to the bathroom first. Mm. Archie points to the bathroom.
Nervous.
Yeah, nervous to meet
you. Nervous to meet you, yeah.
And then comes out and he's like, kind of looks around like, well, thanks guys, thanks for having us. And then he's standing next to Archie. Archie goes, this is Tom, introduces me.
Nice one.
Says,
good work, Archie. He could have let you just...
Exactly.
Just like...
Nice of Archie.
Hang in the breeze for a while.
But then he said... He mentioned the project. He goes, I'm not sure if he said, do you know, you might know him or works on the project or something like that. Mm. And then I shook his hand and then he goes, Tom, nice to meet you. But absolutely no acknowledgement of, no recognition or statement of any kind, I guess, which is would be normal, I guess. But I suppose a bit of a failure because it was kind of teed up by Archie as if that was
something that
he was going to engage with. Or
well, so, yeah, anything. I've got a few things to take away from that. Number one, I don't know which part were you going to lie about there. I don't know.
Oh, it occurred to me because I came in kind of thinking about the handshake. I found he did a very good amount of eye contact.
Yeah.
And a firm shake. It kind of made me feel like, oh, something might happen.
Mm.
But I didn't have anything to say.
Yeah, of course.
And I think there was a pause of if I want to say something, then fine. But he's not going to start a conversation.
He's not going to start.
I kind of I deferred to him because he's kind of like he's good at this stuff. Like you lead.
Yeah. But he's completely on autopilot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The 100%. Amount of people. Can I say also those words? I'm a bit in defense of Chris Minns here because it's like every situation he goes to, a project would be involved. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some kind of project.
Oh, you think he and so didn't understand?
He wouldn't. I don't think he understood the thing. He would know the project. We've had him on the project before.
Of course, he knows what the project is.
But every time he goes to something, it would be because there's a community-led initiative. Wow. The word project would get thrown around.
You're always finding little excuses. And I want to clarify. I'm fine him not recognizing me from the project. It's fine. I suppose it only occurred to me that the story actually does involve that a bit of a tee up to potentially kind of connect with him.
Mm.
And then that was not taken.
Yeah.
Whether it's because he misinterpreted the word project or because he was leaving and autopilot. But I suppose the thing that I was impressed by is that I agree, autopilot, you're just shaking hands with someone. Bit more, which I think is my takeaway, which because it is his job to just meet loads of people that you kind of don't really know who they are.
Totally.
He was a tad bit more respectful than he needed to be.
Ooh.
In terms of just the eye contact and the...
Did he hold the gaze slightly?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It wasn't like, yeah, cheers, mate, and then out. It was like, Tom, nice to meet you.
But they would work on the gaze. They would work on that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. It was like, well, I mean, and that's what I mean. It's like to have it from a practiced guy, who that's a big part of their role, is to just move and shake.
I'm a bit jealous because I would have loved to experience.
But you would have said something good.
So do you know, I've already thought about what I would have said. I would have tried to get a laugh, right? Yeah. You said you came on public transport. I would have said,
mate, got the train here on time.
You'd like that? Just trying a bit of your gear out. He probably would have hated that.
He would have loved it. He was joking around.
Being like, got the train here, mate. You've done well with those, haven't you? That was your idea, wasn't it?
But then, I don't know, I also feel a bit like, I don't know, politician. Like, am I trying to suck up? It's like, you work for me, mate. But no, in the moment, I was trying to suck up.
Can I say, it's so pathetic how you texted me and you're like, bit late, Chris Minns in the studio. And I was like, whoa, Chris Minns. And so I said to Leah and John, who were like helping me set up in my studio, I'm like, guys, this is crazy. Tom, Chris Minns is
in
the
studio.
Can
I guess what they said?
Yeah, please do.
Who the fuck is that?
They gave it less. They go, oh, okay. That's all they say.
Oh, they know and they don't care.
They said, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, premiers have had their day.
Yeah.
It's not 2 years ago.
Yeah, that is so true. Like, imagine meeting him in the height of COVID.
Oh my God. To be honest, when I went to the bathroom, I did have the thought I should ask him what the COVID numbers are. But then I'm like, that's not that funny.
Oh, well, the other thing is, though, maybe he didn't give you much because he is he agreed to do this podcast. Archie's obviously cut a deal, a Batuta situation. And then he comes.
What do you mean what they cut a deal?
Well, being like, hey, mate, can you come and do my podcast?
The politician needs to have an interview that's jovial and
totally. Yeah, but then maybe he was like, by the way, just you guys. I don't want to walk into any traps. He gets out of the interview. Who's the
and
first?
All of a sudden,
a sneaky journalist from the project is there waiting, armed with a question about the COVID numbers to catch him out.
Yeah, true. Putting him on the spot.
Yeah.
There probably still are COVID numbers.
Really?
I mean, yeah. People just don't care about him anymore and they don't announce him on TV. Mm. But yeah, like that would be a good gotcha question. Well, the COVID numbers today.
Yeah.
And then if you don't have the answer, then all of a sudden you're some bad politician. You're right. Thank God I didn't ask that.
He's been struggling with all this asbestos they've been finding around Sydney.
Damn it. That would have been great to reference. But, get a little crusty thing and put it in your mouth almost.
Being like, I'm going to a park this afternoon, mate. Any parks you can recommend that I go to or not?
Oh, wait. They're all cordoned off for some strange reason. Can I say this links to an experience you had. Mm. With not the Premier, but the Prime Minister.
Yeah. He came in on the project and I got to do... Well, so, I mean...
Speaking of chit-chat.
I got to chit-chat with the big man and I don't want to, like, one-up you. This is why I didn't want to bring it up because you're on cloud nine. You've had a pretty exciting...
I'm not on cloud nine. I don't care.
You care, man.
It was...
You care. You're going to write it in your journal tonight. I met Chris.
It was enough to not be annoyed that the podcast studio wasn't unavailable. I'm like, Chris, the Premier's in there. That's you can't be angry with that. But I'm not chuffed. I'm not on cloud.
You're
nine.
On cloud
I'm on
nine.
Cloud seven maximum.
You're on cloud nine. Well, so we've had the Prime Minister on a few times, and it is a big deal. Like, do you know what I mean? Yep. It is. Sometimes Australia feels very small. But then the Prime Minister comes on and you're like, no. This is a big deal. No matter where you are in the world, this is a big deal, right? The Prime Minister.
Totally.
And I don't want to one-up you with your one MI5 agent. There's like 10 come in.
10. And wow, they come, that makes
and
sense.
And they come and they go each level of the building.
Wow.
To like make sure no one's up to, you know, bad stuff.
What do they do on each level? Just like...
They pop in, have a chat.
Just see the vibe. See if that, like, what would they have to see for there to be an issue? Like a guy full Islamist outfit,
I guess so.
Just like muttering and
they catch a guy putting a bomb together, and they're like, "God, I didn't think you'd come to level four. You got me."
Some sort of Russian-looking guy, like spinning a silencer under a huge sniper rifle.
God, I didn't think you'd go. You'd use level three correctly.
What? You guys God, are geniuses.
Anyway, so he comes in, right, and it's like pre-recorded. And so he comes in and we're sitting on the desk. It's like we're doing a fake live TV show.
Yeah.
Because we're pre-recording it. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in and then he's like straight into chit-chat. It's unreal. Yes. Unreal. And he's coming in and he was talking about the submarines at the time.
Hang on. So this is we're recording at this stage.
We're on the desk, but we haven't started the interview.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I guess we're recording. Like it would actually all be.
But it's not like welcome.
No. We haven't done that. So he comes in and he like shakes everyone's hands and he's chatting away and he's like, oh, it's good to, you know, good to see you guys. He's chatting away. He'd been to India.
Yep.
And he was like talking about, he's like, what a country. It's, you know, a lot going on, blah, 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 loves it. And then we're about to talk about the submarines and I was like, oh, great, mate. The submarine stuff is pretty good. And then he pauses. He goes, bit going on here, mate.
What?
That's what he says.
Can I say?
Yeah.
This is the story as I've heard it.
What's the story?
Not to pull you up here.
Okay.
I don't know which one's true. I heard. Which is worse?
Worse?
So, I don't know if you've changed it. I heard that Anthony Albanese sits down, chatting about India, saying how much he loved it. You said, how about these submarines?
Yeah.
And then Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister, said, let's save it for the interview.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, that...
Is that true?
He said a bit going on and then...
He said a bit going on or you said a bit going on?
He said, look, now you're trying to self-censor me here.
No, I'm not trying to self-censor. I'm trying to get to the heart of the issue. I think the heart of the issue, as I understood it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you tried to start a chit-chat with the head of state about our military... / nuclear strategy. And the Prime Minister was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to say casual shit about our nuclear submarines. Like, that could affect our standing in the world forever.
He did.
That's not chit-chat stuff.
So he did say, we'll save it for the interview, right? Okay. I did try to get a bit going on. He referenced it. He's like, yeah, a bit going on.
Okay, so he said a bit going on. Okay.
He said a bit going on. He definitely said a bit going on. I might have led him there with a bit, with my bit going on.
So you said, so hang on. So you said nuclear submarines, a lot going on. And he said, yeah, a bit going on. Maybe save it for the interview.
He said maybe save it for the interview. But also I was pulling a joke on him. So I was trying to like...
Of bringing up something serious?
Well, so I was trying to tell him that I was... So I had made like a fake GoFundMe page. Well, actually, it wasn't fake. It was a real GoFundMe.
But that's for the interview. This is pre-interview.
Yeah, I know. But I was trying to tell him about that because I didn't want to like... get the Prime Minister.
So you're actually doing something kind of like foreshadowing so the truth, in a professional manner.
The truth of, and I didn't mention this on Barnett's podcast.
No.
But it's actually quite boring, is that I was then trying to be like...
That was a segue in.
I was trying to be like, yeah, and then I've got this thing I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
And then he was like, just save it for the interview.
Right, okay. So you did say that I've got this bit.
I've got this bit. I didn't, but he then didn't even want to see the bit. He was to do it or
he
not.
He was fine. Okay.
So he shut me down. So it's actually not that interesting.
Oh, okay. No, it is. I mean, look, still, you're here. You're rubbing shoulders. You're having a chat with the head of state.
Yeah, but it,
I thought that you were so didn't understand that these things are real as part of his job. Because it's like that is the nature of things that are like very important for a government person's job. These are big decisions about how to treat geopolitical things that could have huge ramifications for our nation.
You can't have casual
chit-chat. To us, it's just like chat. Like, it's on the newspaper. It's all hypothetical. And it's like the kind of stuff that you chat about at the pub. And you're just doing it like, how about these news?
Yeah, it's like if you bumped into...
Mate, everything I say has actual...
consequences.
Import.
Exactly. It's like bumping into...
Xi Jinping might overreact if he gets wind of me going like, oh, it's not that big a deal or something, you know?
Well, yeah, it's like if you saw him at the dog park walking his dog in Marrickville.
Yeah.
And you're like, by the way, you got those nuke codes, Albo? Can I have a look at those? Yeah.
What's the strategy, though? Are you even going to stay in AUKUS? Like, is that a play?
But they should just... They kind of should just tell us, right? I know there's like national security.
Tell us what?
Like everything. Just let us know.
Wow. Yeah, like a complete...
Complete transparency.
A complete openness military strategy.
Yeah.
So like WikiLeaks ourselves and be like, okay, these are the names or the aliases of all our spies around the world.
Exactly. Get them out there. Like imagine if everyone around the world was completely open.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So like no secrets.
In any country.
In any country. How would that change the way we govern and the way we operate?
This is like almost like the kind of thing you'd hear on a biology podcast where they talk about like the human mind. I think part of the thing that we evolved is that we can understand or kind of like imagine the hypothetical.
Yeah.
Which is by definition kind of not necessarily the truth. And that a lot of animals can only kind of interact with the world as it is and therefore can't formulate plans or like possible things that could occur or think about the future in a hypothetical way. And that kind of limits them. So I feel like if everyone was completely honest, it could only react to kind of the actual thoughts they were having and what was in front of them, we probably wouldn't be able to like design any buildings or make anything out of nothing.
No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying no one can lie. I'm saying politicians can't, right?
Oh, okay.
And if they get caught telling one lie, they get, death by firing squad or something. Day to day, we're still lying. Do you know what I mean?
We need to get Chris Minns back here.
If I've got to get out of something, I'm being like, oh, sorry, family emergency or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm still allowed to lie.
Are you mad about Albanese taking back the tax cuts? Is this what this is about?
Me? No.
Yeah, you meet him once and then he gets rid of tax cuts for rich people and you're like, he broke his... election promises. We need to have a society where people are firing squatted if they lie even one time.
Speaking of those tax cuts, now this is just boring talking to politicians chat, but whatever, it started with Chris Minns. Jim Chalmers came on the project after the stage three tax cuts, the treasurer, and then everyone's asking him like actual serious questions. And then I asked him, I was like, Jim, mate, I've been caught lying. This is what you got to do to get out of it. And I'm like, get a fake mustache, change your route to work, you know, if anyone sees you, deny, whatever. I'm just like giving him tips on how to get away with getting caught lying, right?
Mm.
And he was like not prepped. Like, you know how like sometimes they're like so into.
Not prepped for that. What a surprise.
No, but he got nervous and was like, I don't know actually how to answer that. Like, I've never, like, he couldn't just laugh and move on. He thought it was like a gotcha question.
Well, it kind of was, though. Don't you think that is part of the, I mean, that is part of the fun slash interesting thing about the project is a comedian is asking politicians questions, which is not normal.
No.
So they have to answer some weird fake mustache question. Like, why would that be something they prepped
not
for?
Not prepped, but it's like he couldn't move, he couldn't change gears, right? Being like, he was obviously told that morning, he's like, this is your message, you've got to stick on it. And then he was always just playing defense, you know? It was like Floyd Mayweather, just always kind of
100%.
Shoulder roll at all times.
But then if he did that to you, he would have looked crazy if you go back to a sit. Like, he probably, correctly identified, oh no, this is a jokester. And now I have
I don't think I thought he thought I was a gotcha guy. I thought he thought I was another serious fella.
No, I reckon he thought that, oh, this is, like, because they're all a bit, you know, analytical. They're like, oh, this is the type of situation where I should respond with some larrikin humour because it's being asked in a jovial way. So I can't just do my kind of serious rebuttal. But then also, I don't have a larrikin sense of humour. But I know Australians like that kind of thing.
Australians love it.
So then it kind of breaks your brain.
I reckon what's happened is, I've asked him that, it sent fear into the Labour Party, right? They're worried. They're freaking out, right? Mm-hmm. They're associating the project with negativity. A message goes round to all the state bodies of the Labour Party.
Yep.
All of a sudden, Chris Minns is in a studio doing a podcast.
He's left something in here to poison me.
No. But he finishes the podcast. Someone says, here's a guy from the project. Alarm bells kicks in.
Yeah.
Hi, Tom. Leaves. He's like, got away with that. Didn't make a fool of myself.
Oh, you think he would have been shaking in his boots?
Yeah.
Because he knew of my association with you.
Absolutely.
We should offer a service to politicians to coach them on comedy.
Well, I've often thought that if you just had a politician that was like real funny.
I mean, and just like would, it, like Trump.
I mean, perfect example. Like Trump is doing this.
Or Zelensky.
But was Zelensky, like, he had that TV show, but was he like funny?
It's a good question.
Is he riffing?
We only saw him under extremely dire circumstances.
It's like
when you've only seen someone perform like a stand-up on in a really bad room where it's impossible to do well, so it's like you just can't judge them from that.
Yeah.
It's like when Russia,
when
you're doing a war, it's just you can't be, it's not big laugh.
Russia invading Ukraine it's a pretty bad open mic.
It's like the worst open mic in the world.
Couldn't be any worse. But
so I don't have a sense, really.
But they say he's funny. They say his show's good. I don't know. But Trump, legit, so funny. And he's just on tour, basically, just doing arenas.
Karl Barron.
Yeah.
If he ran and was just crushing.
Yeah.
You think it'd work?
Well, yes. All press conferences, just like crowd working, you know, and just asking them questions, being like, oh,
crowd,
would you take the bus here? Blah, blah. You know, so whatever.
Calling the press conference.
Who's come the furthest or whatever? Just killing. And then like
2 years into your reign, asking the same ABC and Channel 9 journalists who's come the furthest. It's like, Carl. It's the same.
It's me.
40 people in the press room.
You invited me to
every
your house
morning.
For dinner.
We know
each
where
other.
We live. You've done all this crowd work. No, I'm not in a relationship. Yes, I'm single. I live alone. I'm 36 years old. I live down the fucking road, mate. We all live in Canberra. What are your policies?
There's like 40 of
us. You haven't announced
Canberra.
Anything yet.
We eat at the same restaurants every night. We go to the same bars. We know each other so well.
Stop crowd working us, please. There's not even any cameras on us. No one watching the feed can see any of us. They can only see you.
I like it. It's good if it's like a year in. You could probably get a year out of just crowd working, right? I reckon you could. And you'd be killing. You'd be the most popular like leader in the country, right? No one's ever seen it. It's like you're killing. But then it would be hard. Like you would get to the point where you're like, I've got to write some material. Because I can't get crowd working these guys.
What is question time if not crowd work where the crowd stands up?
It's like pantomime crowd work.
Yeah, you know those like crowd work clips where it's like, this guy looks like a bit like a cross between Joe Biden and Joe Rogan.
Am I right?
Stand up. Yeah. Stand up. Stand up and face the crowd. And then they stand.
And then everyone cheers.
Like always a bit awkward. And then everyone cheers because they do look like the thing that the guy said. It's like that, but it's like you're political enemies. And then they stand up and then you respond.
Yeah,
and you
kind of
like roast them and try and get them. It's already crowd work in Parliament.
You know what you watch? I don't know if you watch Parliament, but sometimes in there, they're like so funny. and they're just riffing spur of the moment. It's so different to when they do their press conferences. They just need to bring a bit of that over to the press conference.
I don't know. I suppose my take on that is that I agree, and sometimes there are like funny quips, and I mean, you know, Paul Keating is an example of someone who had funny quips in there, and like you talk to
anyone. He's not that funny though.
Look,
I
just want to do you slowly. It's like, oh my goodness, he's talking about sex in a political realm. That is more humorous than we come to expect from the average politician. Mm. However, I would argue that in those circles, I mean, in Parliament, they kind of reveal their secret debatery energy.
Their background.
That is actually just informing all of their behavior. And then they come out into interviews and press conferences and they pretend to be normal people. But it's like, no, we see the extreme debatery nerd that you are.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're smiling and you're clearly in your element and you're all kind of mates. You're all like joking around, really.
But that's what, like, the other thing I've often thought. If you had a funny politician, right, would they just be unbelievably successful and popular, just diverting every question with a gag? It'd be so good. Or the second one, because like you said, they do have this debatery kind of energy that they can't escape, because no matter what side of politics, they're all from that. What if you just had... like a real cool guy running. Bit vague on policy, but he was cool. Like, would he go well?
Yeah. So who are we thinking?
Who's like the cool? I mean, maybe like Brad Pitt.
Yeah, okay.
He's pretty cool. Or like
who's Australia's
Hamish
Brad
Blake.
Pitt? No, so
he's
this is
too
the thing.
Funny and like nice.
Yeah, my first thought
have to be just cool.
Exactly. A lot of the people in the media, so even Brad Pitt, these people, I mean, obviously he's cool, he's gorgeous, he's a good actor.
Gorgeous.
But they're media-trained people, and they're also people that have to do media a lot. So they just have to get dragged into kind of commercial and kind of lame circumstances sometimes. So they can't withhold or keep their like full, true, cool, kind of above-it-all, nonchalant vibe. You'd almost need like a punk rocker, like an indie punk rocker guy who's never had to do any press or any lame thing. Leather jacket, shaved head, bit of a tattoo on the neck.
Yeah.
Just like,
fuck you.
Every question that's asked from the press, eye roll.
Yeah.
Just like,
you guys gonna bring that shit again?
Of course.
What the hell? This is so boring. How does anyone do this job?
I think that only works if some sort of physical intimidation is added into the mix.
You think he's threatening to beat up the press gallery?
I think you need to see it, man. I think someone like that.
That's sick.
That just looks a lot like ineptitude, right? If they just kind of refuse to engage and they just eye roll at every question. Yeah. It's like, get this absolute prick out of power. Like that enrages the electorate, I think. However, if they get in through some sort of viral, like let's say they want to get into politics, they do an announcement, someone like Peter Dutton in the halls of Canberra or something says something like, mate, you're a disgrace. You got absolutely no political background. You shouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
And he goes, what? And he walks up, grabs him by like his tie.
That'd be good.
Pulls the tie down to like waist height, then pulls down the pants of the guy and then just like starts smacking his ass.
Spanking.
Like full, that would go so viral. And full humiliation. Yeah. full just like alpha shit. And then like pulls him back up and says, if you press charges, I think you know what's going to happen. Cunt.
Whoa. He says this like, in question time, he says
it. No, this is just out there.
Oh, this is just...
there's cameras on
okay,
it.
Okay, right.
And maybe cameras like through glass, like neither of them know there are cameras at the time. So you see their true humanity and you see their true
self. And then Dutton squeals and he's like, I'm sorry. I'll never do that again.
Then it's like, this guy's the king. He's just like the true alpha vibes. I'm not sure whether it would be successful, but I feel like for your thought experiment, that's kind of the character I'm imagining.
So I'm just talking like someone who's cool without effort, maybe not physically beating up the opposition leader and spanking him in front of... Like, I think that's a bit of a deviation, potentially. Yeah. I think there is a middle ground.
That's not cool to you? Is that a disturbing thing that's what I associate with cool, is just absolutely humiliating someone that they don't like?
I was thinking someone that's just like, you know, maybe just surfs a bit and then is like happy-go-lucky, maybe smokes a joint now and again.
You know why?
Up to date on pop culture references.
No, that was like the actual...
You're like, you bend him over. You pull his pants down and you spank him.
This happened to me when I was five.
That maybe happened to you.
No, no, not me. But like, there was a kid in my year in kindergarten, and I was over at his house for his birthday. He was looking back. I think he was a bit of like a naughty kid. Probably had some behavioral issues or something.
Yeah,
would just get excited and kind of hit kids. But he was...
He'd get excited and hit kids.
Well, not excited, but you know, they get angry and then they just like look for someone to
they
hit.
They don't know how to use their, like, their energy, basically.
Yeah, and they don't have good emotional regulation or something. Like, there's something not quite right about what he's up to in the playground. Like, there was a sense of like, oh, he could do anything at any time.
Jeez.
But anyway, I got invited to his party, so I'm going to go. Like, he was a bit of a tough kid as well for a five-year-old.
Yeah. Is he cool in the playground? At five?
Well, this is the thing. It's like 5 years old, like God knows. But I would say so. He was physically intimidating because he was a bit of a bigger kid.
Yeah.
And he could pop off at any
Being
minute.
Being big as a kid is just such huge social currency.
Exactly.
Like, there's nothing more than being big.
It's kind of, when you're five, I think that's kind of it. I think that's the pecking order. I don't think it's like, that guy's big, but then Tom has a sharp tongue. Like, there's none of that going on.
Tom is really able to get people on side. He can run numbers.
No,
Jason's fucking huge.
That's all it's about. But yeah, I remember being at his party, feeling a bit kind of like, maybe I didn't know that many people.
Okay.
And, you know, a bit uncomfortable there. And then I remember the feeling of, oh shit, this kid is about to pop off. He's in one of those moods.
No,
where he's...
You're on eggshells around him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the feeling, I think it was even worse. Like, I think he was excited because it was his birthday and it was at his house and all these kids were there. Plus, he does this at lunch at school.
Yeah.
And so he was like really on one. I wasn't in his immediate periphery. So like I wasn't next, but I remember the feeling of like, it's on, like be aware not to get in his way. Like this is when he grabs people and just does shit. And then he was being naughty. Forget exactly what he did. His mum or dad, I think the mum, spots him being a bit psycho, grabs him, pulls him off in front of everyone, parents as well, pants down.
She spanks him.
She spanks him in front of everyone.
I don't know. I didn't see the story going that way.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was going to spank.
No. So the big guy that everyone was... We saw him get full just spank humiliated in front of everyone. And then he comes back to the group like more chilled now, like, yeah, so like what's going on? It's like, oh shit, that's crazy to just... You were just spanked in front of me. I just saw your ass.
Okay, this story does paint why your mind went that way.
I think that's like, why I'm like, that's...
I was like, Tom's gone in a weird tangent. But it does make... If you saw that happen,
yeah,
you would feel like every social situation about hierarchy and maybe trying to gather support would be framed by that.
That's one of the most extreme ways I've seen someone dominated in a social setting, yes.
Yeah, and was he...
I mean, it was when we were five.
Was he different at school after that?
I don't remember ever seeing him again. Oh, no, I think also one time I was with him, maybe I went to his house, and I think his dad accidentally slammed his arm into the car door.
What do you mean?
So I'm in the back, and then he's getting into the front seat of this ute. I think it was like a kind of a big car.
Right.
I think it was a four-wheel drive kind of thing. Bit old. And then the dad, I think, slammed it. And then, but his arm wasn't quite in.
Jeez.
And then he goes, ah. And I'm in the back like, oh, shit. Like, this family, man. It's just a bit, you know, you're on edge.
Yeah, wow.
And then he's like, ah. And then the door gets open. And then I remember him holding up his arm. And he had like rubber marks on his arm from the slam.
Oh, fuck.
It wasn't broken or, you know, I think he was fine.
Is this kid, because often they say like a bully is getting bullied. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Do you think, I don't want to get, you know, bring the tone of this podcast down.
Yes.
But do you think there could have been problems at home?
I have absolutely no idea. All I know is that his dad slammed his arm in the door and his mum pulled down his pants and spanked him in front of all his friends. You tell me. That's all the information I have.
The sample size that we have to deal with. Wow. It was always a weird thing. I remember going over to kids' houses when I was growing up and then chucking an absolute wobbly and having a tantrum.
Them?
Yeah, like, or whatever.
Not you.
They're angry at their parents or whatever.
Yeah,
and it
totally.
Being like, still to this day, I think it is like the most awkward social setting you could ever be in is when...
Totally.
You're there and you're on your best behavior because your parents are like, you don't fucking embarrass 100%. Us. Okay, you have to be on your best behavior. And they're going crazy and they're off you and they're just crying and then you're just sitting with some random parents.
They're off off you.
You're six and you're trying to make small talk with them.
I don't know if that ever happened that they were off me.
Well, no, they're just off the whole situation.
Yeah, I think overwhelmed by the pressure of providing a good time.
Presumably. See, maybe that's it. But I don't know. Like, I've had it. I remember once I was at my friend Michael Blake's house and I was probably six or seven. Mm. He cracks it about something. Yeah. I don't know. He's off crying, screaming at his parents. They're dealing with him. And then he's like, goes to his room and it's just like shuts the door and he's like bawling his eyes out. And I'm just sitting with his parents. Like, they're watching TV in the lounge room. And I'm just sitting there with them. And I think they were like, should we call your parents? And I was like, yes, please. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And you've just got to sit there in silence.
Was he being punished? Because I always thought the punishment doesn't... I mean, yeah, when the punishment applies to time when you're there, I always felt like, no, no, no. Like, ground this kid when I'm gone. Yeah. Like, this is play on. Like, this is
play time.
We get to use the PlayStation when I'm here. Like, don't... ban the PlayStation because he's rude because he's trying to look cool in front of me.
In front of me, yeah.
Like now, that affects me. Like when I leave, do whatever you want with this kid. But I don't have a console. I need every fucking minute I can get on this thing. Are you serious?
It was like when another parent would discipline you when you were there. And you're like, you don't have the jurisdiction.
I'm sorry, I don't
I'm calling different laws here. You can't do this.
Yeah.
You can extradite me back to my family.
It is actually international law,
and they can
law,
deal
dude.
With me.
It's
right,
sovereignty.
But right here, you have no power over me.
Yeah, it's like the diplomatic immunity, man. I'm visiting. You can send me back. Extradition, exactly. Or just, like put me in an isolated area. But like, you
Julian
can't touch
Assange
me. You have no fucking... Because, what are you going to do? You actually run the risk if you try to discipline someone else's kid too hard.
You couldn't do it.
You run the risk of like them realizing that all discipline is bullshit. Because...
Right.
Under
and then the fabric of society just disappears.
Kind of, because it's like, what do they say? I've heard parents say this, that like, if the kids figure out that actually there's no leverage going on, then that's a whole different... Like, imagine when you were 12, I'd have this conversation all the time as a teen. If you realized you're just like, you can't actually get in that much trouble.
Yeah.
All they can do is suspend you. You go to a public school, it's like they actually can't expel you. It's like pretty hard. There's no real ramifications that are... What are your parents going to do? Unless they hit you, unless they're violent people.
Unless they pull your pants down and spank you.
I mean that...
Crunch your arm in a car door before...
But if you have nice parents that aren't going to do that stuff, it's like, what can they actually do to you? And that's exactly my thought when like other people's parents were like trying to discipline. I'd think, like, what are you going to do? Like, you don't have any of my stuff. You've got no, like...
try it.
And then you can be like, oh, hang on, but what are my parents going to do?
No,
I guess just yell at you more because they dominate the space.
But that's a high level of thinking, I reckon, for most kids, to then question your own parents being like, who even are they in this world?
It leads there.
But then next thought is like, what's the meaning of life? Do you know what I mean?
I guess.
If the hierarchy of your family means nothing to you as a child, it's like, where are you headed for? Do you know what I mean?
I think, yes. I think it is kind of very behaviorally kind of bad kids that get to that realization because they push all those boundaries and realize my actual motivation growing up was, I didn't want to disappoint my parents. I cared what they thought of me.
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly, there was this sense that like, being in trouble would be terrible because of how it would feel.
That's how they get you, the feeling.
But that's how they get
the
you.
The feeling.
Like, actually, how do they it couldn't do have that? Been that... It couldn't have been that bad. It's like, and I reckon they would have been more forgiving than I was imagining.
That'd be so
forgiving. If there was if you could just talk your way out of it. You know what I mean?
Do you know my dad would always threaten me with his big threat if I was naughty would be like, if you don't get your act together, I'm going to send you to boarding school.
Wow. Have I told you this military before? School. No, this is like Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, so that was his big threat, like all through. And I was fucking terrified.
Boarding schools are fancy.
Dude, so this is the other thing. So like we were poor. We didn't have money at all. And as I got older, I knew that it's like he couldn't afford to send me to boarding school.
That's the thing. Military school implies you're going to be doing drills with guns and spinning and waking up at 6 a.m. But like boarding school is like Hogwarts or something. Boarding
He's like, if you don't pull your act together, I'm sending you to King's. Yeah. It's like, it sounds like it's going to be worse for you. You're going to bankrupt yourself.
Okay.
But I was terrified of boarding school.
Don't stop talking back. I'm going to send you to Fiji. I'm going to send you to Harvard University.
Well, he made boarding school sound really bad, though. He was like, you'll be in a room. You'll never see us. He was. He told me they gave kids the cane at boarding school.
Yeah.
Because he got the cane.
See you. You're currently disciplining me. You can't use you as a good hang example during the yelling at me. You know what I mean?
But I didn't know that. Because it was kind of, it is kind of a little bit of propaganda when you're...
Boarding school.
No, like parenting. And it kind of has to be.
Oh, it's all propaganda. I love this international law analogy comparison.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
It's all about sovereignty.
Yeah.
And then, within each country, each set of parents have their own set of propaganda that they're using to control their population.
Of course.
And I stand by my previous point, which is if you travel, that's why travel's good, because you get a sense of what propaganda other people's families, aka countries, are using to convince their people.
Yeah.
And that could, by seeing how different countries/families are doing it, make you reflect on your own propaganda. If you come from quite a conservative country where there's not many human rights, and then you go to another country where they do have human rights, of course that's going to inform how you look at your own country. You're going to be like, other families are getting basketball shoes, aka freedom of speech.
Absolutely. And it's like, even you look at global politics right now, often countries with similar ideals, like different countries' policies will often dictate their policy. Do you know what I mean? Like with the vaping policy that they're bringing in Australia, it's considered world leading, but other countries are already like, well, maybe we should, if Australia's doing that, we should maybe bring that in. And it does make you think. It's like, I remember when my bedtime was 7:30, but then my friend, what was his name? Baron. He was like, hey, we're 8 p.m. And my parents liked his parents. So I went back to my parents and I'm like, hey, so they're getting 8 p.m. And then my parents, I don't think they changed it, but they thought about it. They gave it a red. They were like, okay, that's interesting.
Oh, dude, I was 100% sure that was going to get changed. What the hell? They thought about it. That's not enough. That really rings a bell that I think when you mentioned a policy of a parent that, like, friends of theirs or, like, parents of kids that your parents respected, that really was, I think, in my life at least, almost an instant change.
Really?
That their ears would perk up and they'd be like, oh, is that right that they're doing 8 p.m.? And then, like, pretty quick, that's 8 p.m.
But would they... It's just 8 p.m. Would they ever just fall on their sword immediately when you told them? Would they go 8 p.m. or would they investigate and then leave a bit of time to make it look like they had control and they had been weighing things up and had come to it in their own way? Is that how they would do it? Or would they just immediately go, oh, 8 p.m., okay, you guys get 8 p.m.
Definitely not like tonight, like at 6 p.m. on a Monday. And I'm like, I was at Sam's on Saturday night and he told me that weekdays 8 p.m. Was the bedtime. It's not like they're going... Fine, 8 p.m. it is tonight. That is, like, no one can rule that way. Think of a country that was like that. That's the opposite.
We have to weigh this up. The Prime Minister
grabbing the opposition leader and spanking him. That's like one person at a protest at a press conference being like, change the rental laws. And then the Prime Minister goes, oh, okay. And then pulls down their own pants and like puts their ass out for the protester to hit them. It's like that's
the protesters too immediate spanking. A capitulation. As long as someone's getting spanked in your world of discipline, everything seems okay.
There's only two attitudes of power in this land.
It's spanking or getting spanked.
But I think there would be like a time where it would take for it to be processed.
Yeah.
But there was a sense, there was an ears perk up immediately. It's like the Kumarelses do this.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, interesting. And then there was a sense that that's just, you're going to get it now, I think.
You're going to get
it. On some things.
Yeah.
Like particularly bedtime. It's like, because all the parents are just making it up.
The bedtime is such a big point. Because it is something that you know in your heart will change, right?
Exactly. And it's kind of by nature arbitrary. And I suppose looking back, the parents, they are all just making it up together.
Totally.
And they don't want to be the loser parents.
And it's kind of like they don't want to be the loser parents. They know it's inevitable. It was kind of like the push for gay marriage, to be honest. It was like,
totally.
We knew, it was like we were on the right side
it's
of history.
It's either this term or the next term.
Yeah, we just had to lobby hard over a bunch of years. And eventually we would get there. And even when we got it, freedom to go to bed, I'm sure... There was a small group that weren't completely happy with it. I'm sure they were.
Well, that's what I think. We're lucky to come from families that were receptive to other people and other parents and other parenting styles. Because I think some families were like, no, like they have a weird patriarch, powerful dad that is like, this is his little kingdom.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care about the other families. In fact, it insults him when what other families do is brought up. It's his
because
little
it's his family.
Town in here.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he'd be like, no, it's 7 p.m. and always will be 7 p.m. And there was a kid in my year 6 class.
Yeah.
That was like not allowed to watch PG movies.
PG?
PG, yeah.
PG?
At 12. 11 and 12. Wasn't allowed to watch PG, I know.
PG.
And wasn't allowed to eat crunchy peanut butter in case he chokes on the little nuts in the peanut butter. And we're like, oh my God, this is the most coddled boy in the world.
That's such a weird reason to not eat. I get if you were potentially, like the nuts, people have nut allergies, right? And maybe it's worse.
Yep.
But what?
Not this kid. It was choking.
Could he have any other nuts or any other, what food could he eat if he couldn't have crunchy peanut butter?
I got sent to the principal for going up to him with and asking him if he wanted a screw. And then he went, what? And then I like opened my hand and then I had a screw.
Oh.
Like it was like a pun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I had a physical screw in my...
You were doing a good Cashman gag you'd probably still be doing today.
she thought it was mean because he was so coddled and he couldn't even watch PG movies. So it's like, I did it to other people.
He probably
as well.
Wouldn't even understand the concept of a joke.
Exactly. And then the principal said to me that she was so furious. Oh, the vice principal. Mm. She's like, if you were 16 years old, that would be sexual assault.
Really?
And I remember thinking... Yeah, but I'm 12 though, so it's not.
Yeah, but things are a bit different, okay?
Yeah. If I was 40, it would be pedophilia as well.
You being a 12-year-old being like, okay, I've got 4 years to really get away with some stuff.
Yeah, 16, wow, all right.
That's the cutoff, okay? Wow, 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 wow.
I think we got to go.
Oh!
I've got to be out of here by 10. Gladys Berejiklian's coming in.